random people, never met before. I was there, like, just in my panties, just in my bra, with this dress, like, above my head, like some sort of weird headgear I had on. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to my podcast, Esme's Country Life. This week, like most weeks, I've had another very hectic, very busy week. But before we begin, I just want to say a huge thank you to the sponsor of the podcast, Redpost. As you guys know, Redpost is an equestrian and country store based in the UK, but they also ship all over the world. And I thought I would let you know about their new starter kits, which is really cool. So if you're starting riding, it can be a bit overwhelming needing to know what you need. So with Redpost starter kits, all you have to do is enter in your information. So what size you are in helmets, boots, breeches, tops, that kind of thing. And then you put in like your favorite colors or what colors you'd prefer things to be in. And then Redpost can get everything together for you and help you out. Also, they do starter kits for your first horse or your first pony, which is really exciting too. So if you want to check them out, be sure to head to redpostequestrian.co.uk. So anyway, yeah, this week has been a busy one. I actually had, I don't even know how to say this, but me and Joey kind of accidentally ended up being in the middle of a running race. So I thought I would start with that. So in my village, I don't know if this is like a, you know, every village does this or if it's just mine, but our village seems to be a place of quite a lot of like sport events. Like every now and again, there'll be like a cycling event and there'll be people that just like cycle through the village and like a cycling race, or there'll be like running races or maybe even like triathlons. Anyway, active people things. And a lot of the time they use like the village hall as a base or like the primary school or things like that. So anyway, there was a running race going on this particular day. I completely forgot that this was happening. I thought, you know what, I'll take Joey on a lovely hack, a bit of a leg stretch. He's, you know, had the day off before. I thought, you know, nice hack to start the week, that'll be lovely. Oh my goodness, we went out into the village, turned around the corner. So we were already on our merry way. It wasn't like, you know, oh, we'll just turn back now, you know, the roads are full of people jogging. So anyway, we're on our way. And then I turned around the corner. I was like, oh, someone in a high vis, is like an accident happened or something? No, it was the marshals for the race. And then there were all these people jogging. And Joey was like, what on earth is going on? And now sometimes actually I go for a hack with either my boyfriend or my dad. Sometimes actually with my boyfriend, normally he runs the whole way. With my dad, he's very good. He does do a little jog, a little bit of a jog, a little bit of a walk, depending on if we're trotting or not. So anyway, normally when Joey sees somebody running, he's like, oh, let's go for a run. So he saw all these people running in the distance away from him. And he was like, oh, I need to be with the herd. I need to catch up. So there was just like this running race, me in the middle with my dad, me on Joey, and Joey just being like, this is great fun. Luckily, we weren't going too long until we could go onto the footpath and or onto the bridle path, sorry, and get away from all the people. But for a while, Joey was pumped. He was like, let's go, guys. Where are we running to? Oh, yeah. So that was quite funny. There was actually once, oh my gosh, I completely forgot about this. We were hacking in the winter and quite often my dad comes along with me on his bike and he cycles and I'm obviously on Joey or Casper. This time around, I was on Joey and there was this guy on a bike wearing the exact same high vis as my dad, like this bright yellow one. And this guy cycled past, zoomed off into the distance, and Joey didn't realise because my dad was behind us. So Joey made this really distressed, like, I don't even know how to describe it. If you've heard a horse make this noise before, you know what I mean? But it was almost like a cry or like a shriek. Like, he just kind of started crying and then started like trotting on the spot being like, Mum, please, Dad's gone away, like I need to catch up with him, like I'm being left on my own, like that kind of thing. And then Dad came round on the outside of us, was like, don't worry Joey, I'm here, that's not me, I'm here, I haven't abandoned you. So please let me know, send me a DM or whatever, or comment on this if you're watching on YouTube. Let me know if your horse has ever done this, mistaken somebody else as like a family member and have just gone, oh my gosh, they're leaving me into the distance. Like I remember, I think it was around this time, oh my gosh, I think it was a long, long time ago. It was back in 2017, before I had Joey, before I had Duke. I did a sponsored ride with Casper, and he absolutely loved that. It was 10 miles. And I think we did it in about an hour. So our average speed was like 10 miles an hour, which doesn't sound fast when you're in a car. But when you're on a horse, we pretty much just ended up cantering and galloping the whole way, or all the bits that were kind of like off-road or like on a field or were safe to kind of go fast. Because every time Casper saw a horse ahead of us, he was like, I must overtake it. I must get to it. And my friend who was on her horse, oh my gosh, her horse was not in the same like mind frame as Casper. She was like, oh, I'm so tired, please, like, not another canter. It's like, oh, okay, I'll have to like keep up with Casper. But poor little horsey that was with Casper trying to keep up, and Casper was just on one. He was like, let's go, we're going zoomies, I need to overtake everyone. So there we go. I remember the next day, like, my arms just like aching. I felt like I'd like done a proper arm workout, because the whole time I was like holding on for dear life, being like, Casper, please don't be too wild. So yeah, I feel like he would love that again. I mean he's been hacking with my friend that I've told you about, and he's loved that. Went for a little trot, and I mean the horse that we were with was like 17 something, and Casper's just 15 hands, like he's pushing 15 hands. So anyway, they were trotting, we were cantering to keep up with Casper's little legs. But no, that was good fun. That was, yeah, so that was the story about how Joey and I kind of accidentally was in the middle of a running race. So there we go. This week I have also been to Burley, so that was a really lovely day out. This year I kind of went a little bit kind of under the radar. I feel like I haven't been to Burley since, I think it was 2019. I haven't been since the pandemic, so it's been a while. The last couple of years I've been doing stuff for Blenheim. So yeah, it was good to be back at Burley. And I went on the Thursday, so I feel like that's kind of like the quietest day to go, because it's like dressage day, it's cross country. I don't know if I go to like a big event on cross country day again, because I really enjoyed going on the Thursday. Like cross country day, I just feel like sometimes it's just a bit too busy. I feel like if you go on cross country day, you also need to go on another day, because cross country day, like, I feel like it's kind of like a mission, because to get around the whole course while all the horses are still going, I feel like my method back before I did YouTube, when I used to go to cross country days to events, it would be like, okay, start halfway through the course, because most people kind of start from the beginning and go round. So what you want to do is when cross country starts, you want to be like the other side. You want to be far away from all the people so you can see all the fences. Also, the water jumps always probably the most popular, so they're the ones where there are some people and they are prepared, like it is a military operation. They make their base, they make their like base camp, they have their picnic blanket, they have their chairs, they have everything. There was one family actually I saw, which was really cool. In the back of their car, they had like a full-on like table and chairs that they got out. There's like always someone like cooking up a fry up in the morning. Like these people, like they are dedicated. They are there. So yeah, I feel like where the water jumps are probably where the most people want to be, or most people want to watch. That's where it's like you kind of have to stand behind a few people to watch it. So there are people, yeah, that get early and just sit there all day. But anyway, so my kind of method would be go halfway out on course, watch it all, and then like slowly kind of come back as the day kind of goes on, because most people are kind of going out in the opposite direction. So that's my method, or my top tips. I feel like if you do that, best of luck. Cross country day is something else. It's always busy. I feel like we would normally go on dressage day, so on the Friday. Dressage day would kind of be like the shopping day, which sounds bad. I do enjoy watching the dressage, but I feel like eventing dressage is just totally different to like dressage. And I remember the first time, I think Max had done, my younger brother had done some filming with me. We were at the World Championships and he'd only seen eventing dressage before. And we went and saw, you know, Grand Prix dressage at the World Championships. And Max being like, oh, wow, this is really good. And it was like Lottie Fry winning her like gold medal. And I was like, yeah. Best in the world, like, so that was quite funny. I feel like the people that love eventing dressage are like the hardcore eventing people. I'm more of a show jumper myself, but I do really enjoy it. I love watching the trot up as well, like seeing everyone's outfits, like what everyone's wearing. That's always good fun too. But yeah, I feel like this, it probably sounds really bad, but dressage day is kind of like the shopping day, going around the shopping, that kind of thing. Because on cross country day, you don't have time to do the shopping. You need to be watching the action. And also, if you do all the shopping like before cross country, you're going to be doing a proper workout. If you buy a lot of shopping, you're going to have to carry that around all day. So what I would normally do if we just went cross country day, shopping in the morning, don't buy anything, just look at everything. And then as you go around cross country, you kind of think about what you want to buy. And then before you go home, doing your purchases. So there we go. But anyway, yeah, sorry, back to my actual time at Burley this week. So I was very kindly taken to Burley by Fairfax and Favour and Lemieux. So I was all dressed up in Fairfax and Favour, which was lovely. I was wearing like a little maroon berry kind of, I need to actually remember what the actual colour of it's called. Plum. There we go. It was plum. A plum jacket, and went for some white flares and a white shirt, because I was like, I don't know, really. I was like, well, I was kind of thinking like how most people would dress a blazer. Like most people would probably go skinny jeans with, you know, the classic Fairfax and Favour boots and that kind of thing. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to go for something a little bit different. I'm going to go out there. So yeah, I wore my white flares, and it wasn't like badminton where it was absolutely disgusting and muddy. I could wear my white trainers as well, and it was all good. So that was lovely. It was lovely weather as well. So I kind of like arrived, quickly went through and chatted to all my sponsors, had a little catch up with everybody, had a lovely lunch with Lemieux as well, in the hospitality bit, had a bit of a meeting with them. So yeah, I had a really lovely time at Burley, because I wasn't really there like, I was there working, but I wasn't really there like working. I felt like it's very different going to an event with sponsors compared to going to an event and like working for the actual show. So it's still very kindly Burley gave me like media accreditation and press passes and things, so I could go into the media center and use the Wi-Fi and post all my stuff and edit content on my laptop and that kind of thing. But it was just a bit more of a chilled one. I was kind of there like under the radar. I was kind of there like, I didn't announce on my stories or anything like that, being like, hey, I'm at Burley. It was just kind of like a me going for the day, saying hi to some friends, that kind of thing. So it was a really lovely day, actually. And then yeah, it was just a bit more of a chilled one, which I'm not used to, especially as you guys have heard the previous episodes of my podcasts, where basically the last couple of shows I've been to, I have been like either non-stop doing meet and greets and not been able to like see any of the show really at all, or it's been like non-stop like getting content out, interviews, bam, all that kind of stuff. So it was quite nice to go to a show and just have like a bit more of a jolly. So yeah, and then there wasn't really anything that dramatic that happened at Burley, really. I feel like normally with my podcast, I'm like, guys, got a really embarrassing story to tell you, like listen up, that kind of thing. But Burley was really lovely. Yeah, no dramas, all good. Actually, there was a little bit of a drama, but it wasn't at Burley, it was at home. So for a while, you guys might know, I've got chickens. I think I've had them since 2019, so quite a while. We started off with four. Unfortunately, we only have two now. One of them we actually lost in our first year, which is really sad. Both of them that we've lost haven't been from like chicken neglect or anything like that. Like often you hear stories of people who have chickens, then unfortunately the fox comes along. And I mean, foxes nowadays, they're pretty crafty. Like they will find a way. We had some chickens taken by the fox once, and it was in broad daylight, and we had like electric fence, everything. So anyway, this was from our chicken basically becoming egg bound. I will spare you the gory details on that, but basically, yeah, they became egg-bound. R.I.P. chicken, very sad. So yeah, my chickens are actually named after chocolate, just because it was around the time of like Easter and I was just thinking of chocolate eggs. So we used to have Bounty, R.I.P., and we used to have Milky Way or Milky, R.I.P. again, both egg-bound, very sad. And then we only have two left, really. We have Snickers and Mars, although my mum never calls Mars Mars, because she was the only brown chicken out of all of them. The other ones were like black, white or grey. She just would always forget Mars's name. So she'd always be like, oh, the brown chicken. So Mars is sometimes called brown chicken. Sometimes she is called Mars. There we go. But anyway, Mars is going strong. She's great. Good old gal. Snickers, on the other hand, has not been too well lately, which has been a bit sad. She's just like, doesn't really go far away from the coop. You know, when you can just tell, like, you're just like, you're getting a bit old. You're just, you know, I don't know. She's just not her cheery old self. I mean, Snickers is doing all right, but she is blind in one eye. So the poor girl, we were kind of thinking she might be on her last legs. Like, she might be going to chicken heaven. We're not sure. So anyway, keep this in mind. And then on my way back from Burley, my mum goes, you know what, Ez? She sends me this long text. I kind of want to read it out, actually. I don't know. Should I do that? It's so random. I'll get my phone. Wait a sec. I hope my mum doesn't mind me talking about this. Like, reading our private message. I can't even... What did she say? The way that she said it. It was such a long message as well. Wait a sec. Where is it? Was it on the group chat, actually? I think it might have been... On the group, yeah, here it is. It's on the group chat where it's like me, my mum and my dad, because we have a family group chat with Max. But then like my mum would just be like sending us things relative to us kind of being at the house, and my brother would be up at university. So when she'd be like, oh, like dinner's ready if we were having dinner together or something like that, Max would be like, he was a bit sad actually when we made a group chat without him. It's called the compound dinner alarm, because we call kind of like, I don't know why, we call where we live, we call it the compound, because my grandparents are next door as well, so we always kind of joke that we're in this compound together, even though where we live is very lovely. It's not like a compound at all, but anyway. She said, my mum's so cute. She just said, just watch your Instagram story and you guys have been working hard, and Ez, you look gorgeous. Little love heart as well. Thanks, mama. Meanwhile, I've been here doing bird aid. I could hear trauma coming from the chickens and thought Snickers was dying. But no, there is life in the old girl yet. She had an adolescent crow pinned down with her foot. In fact, it appeared to be stuck in her foot somehow, and brown chicken was attacking it. I helped it escape from the mad, vicious egg ladies. And then she sent me a picture of this poor crow who does not look very well. And then, yeah, she sent a message a little bit later being like, she thinks the crow's dead. So we have literally gone from Snickers is on her last legs, she's a bit of an old, frail lady now, to my chicken is now a vicious killer. I didn't even know that was possible. Like, how did that even happen? Like, every now and again, the crows do, you know, or would... you know, come near the chickens, maybe get a bit of their corn or their layers pellets or something like that. And like, you know, Snickers, she's always been a bold gal. She has been out there defending her turf. Like, she would run and kind of like squawk at them or whatever, would be like, just run at them basically, and then they'd fly away. But no, she's taken it too far. Now, I don't actually know if it was an adolescent crow or if it was our pet crow. We don't actually have a pet crow, but basically, when my parents built the house, when it was literally just like a wooden frame, there was this crow that would always sit on the wooden frame. And even now, like, the house is built and we live in there, the same crow is there. And we actually ended up calling the crow Frank, because the noise that Frank would make would kind of go like, Frank, Frank. Like, crows are really intelligent animals. They're also very territorial as well. So often you don't find a lot of crows all in one area. Like, often there's one and like that's their turf, and obviously Frank was like, this house looks good, I'm gonna claim here, this is where I'm gonna live. So I don't know if it was Frank or if it was a different one, but since then we have not seen Frank yet, so I'll keep you updated. But yeah, my chicken is a crow murderer. Like, I mean, part of me was like, do I even talk about this on the podcast? Like, it's a little bit morbid. But part of me was also like, this is Esme's country life and things that happen in the country, you know. I guess I was going to say it's circle of life, but it's not like Snickers ate the crow or anything. She just had it in for it. So, yeah, poor old crow. And I don't know. I don't know if Snickers is going to get some sort of bird disease from this crow, like, being that close. So I'll keep you updated on that. But anyway, away from the chicken drama, away from the countryside also, because I went up to London last week and I was very kindly given a slot on BBC Radio Live, talking about my book and everything. So that was pretty cool. I feel like this one was a little bit more of like a chilled one because, I mean, it was on a Sunday, but also a lot of my job, I don't know what I'm doing like next week. So I think we got the email through that... my like lady, a person, I don't know what exactly what her like specific like proper name role is, but she helps me a lot with like the publicity and things of my book, so giving me opportunities of like going on the radio and things like that. So she was like, oh, I've got you a slot on the radio if you want it, and we were told that on the Tuesday, and it was kind of like by the end of that day I had to be like yay or nay. So obviously I was like, yeah, I can do Sunday, I'm free. Like normally I try my very best to have like Sundays off, like that is my day where like I give the horses a day off, like riding, I like don't do anything social media wise, like I just live a very like boring, like not boring, but I just have like a very chilled normal day, because a lot of my life is pretty wild. But anyway, so had a radio interview, that was cool. Also, like the one I did in Ireland, I talked to a lady like beforehand for like an hour, talking about the stuff that I was going to talk about, so then the radio interviewer would know like what questions to ask. This one we didn't have that, it was all a bit last minute, but it was fine. I got to go to the BBC building as well, so that was really cool, like, you know, the ones that you see on the telly and that kind of thing. And the radio bit was also in the same like building as like the One Show and that kind of thing, and it was like, it was, I feel like the BBC one compared to the one in Ireland, it was different in different ways. Like I feel like the security for BBC was a lot higher. Like when we went in, we had to show some ID, so I showed like my driver's license, and then we had to have all of our bags checked, and then we had to have like a little bit of paper on our bag, you know, the like little like wristband kind of things that they stick together like at the airport, basically saying that the bag had been checked and that was all safe. And then I had to wear an ID as well with like my name on and that kind of thing. But yeah, so went into the waiting room, so that was really cool. And I feel like because I had less time to kind of be like, oh, I'm on the radio this week, I feel like the first one I was a little bit nervous for, but this one I was super chilled out. I was like, oh, I've literally done this before, I just talk about the same old things. I felt like the one in Ireland, I talked more about like horses, because the lady was really interested in horses and that kind of thing. And and then this one was a lot more about the book and being a children's author, because Sam, the interviewer, she has also written a children's book, so that was really cool. So we chatted about that, and I always feel like, I've only done two radio interviews, but I feel like whenever I do a radio interview, they always go so quickly, because, I mean, you guys know, I'm used to the podcast, I'm used to chatting for like half an hour, 45 minutes, just about random stuff. So when you have to like try and get so many points across as well within like 10-15 minutes that you're on the radio, I always feel like I never have enough time. But I feel like that's a lot better to be than like to be blank, where you're just like, I don't know what to say, and be really difficult for the interviewer. I feel like I'm an all right person to interview, because often the interviewer doesn't have much to say in between. Like I'm just talking, I'm just chatting. So no, it went really well. She was really lovely. The team was really lovely. Also for this one, I had to wear headphones, which was, I don't think I wore headphones the last one, I can't remember. So I was like, for half a second, I was like, they don't have a delay, do they? They are live, because you could like put the headphones on, then you could hear like the music that's on the radio and that kind of thing. They're like, no, it's fully live, no delay. Because if you've ever done it before, like sometimes when we're filming, and my dad has like the headphones on, it kind of acts like a speech jammer, because there is a little bit of a delay. And I had that when I did my demo at World Horse Welfare, and I basically just had to blank out any background noise and just listen to what I was saying, because basically I could hear myself like a millisecond later saying the thing. And it's really trippy. It feels so weird if you've ever had that experience before. So luckily there was no speech jammer, so I was a little bit worried about that at first, and I'm like, no, it's all good. And then like there was a little knob underneath the desk where I could change the volume and that kind of thing. But no, that was really good. And then afterwards I did a little bit of shopping, because, you know, don't really get out much to the town or the city that often. I mean, this sounds bad, but I feel like I go to London more often than I go to like my local town shopping. Like if I'm leaving the countryside, like I am going all out. So obviously made the most of going up and down Oxford Street, Regent Street, doing a bit of shopping. Got a new coat for the winter, just like a little, like, I feel like in the UK, the perfect coat for just like popping on, like I need to go somewhere, I need to chuck it on for like autumn, winter, is one that's waterproof / water resistant, because it rains here all the time. Not too thick, because we do this thing where it's freezing out, it's like pretty cold outside, but it's not like freezing, like it's not snowing. It gets icy sometimes in the morning, but then it kind of, you know, melts away. So we're like, UK is basically, I'm trying to remember from geography now, it's temperate maritime. So basically it means it's wet and it doesn't really have that many extreme temperatures. So so I've got a new coat that was, yeah, slightly water resistant. Also not like a long one, I just wanted a short one because it gets really warm also when, especially if you're like in a town and you're going from outside to inside, and you go inside and you get blasted with all the heat, and then you've got this coat on and you're sweating, and it's like two extremes. It's and I feel like I'm probably going to have that when I go away next week. I'm going on holiday, so really looking forward to that. I'm going to Dubai, which I feel like that is a big holiday. Like, I know it's a big holiday because I'm not going from Gatwick, I'm going from Heathrow. And if you live in the south, you will know that like Gatwick is like you're going somewhere in Europe, you're going here, there, everywhere, that kind of thing. But Heathrow, you're going on a big trip. Like, you're going to the US, you're going to Australia, you're going to like Africa, something like that. So this is exciting. I'm really looking forward to that. Anyway, sorry, off topic, what was I talking about? Winter jackets, there we go. I'll get onto that later, or you'll probably hear all about that trip in a episode coming up. So yeah, as I'm filming this, is Saturday and I'm going on Monday, so I'm pretty pumped and pretty excited. Have not packed at all yet, so should probably be thinking about that this weekend. But anyway, back to shopping. So yeah, it was just like the perfect little winter jacket just to put on, go here, there and everywhere. And also it's white as well, so I feel like it's a very neutral color. It's not nothing, it's something that will go with all my outfits. I was thinking, do I go white, do I go black? I feel like a black coat can be quite basic, but I was like, you know what, white might be an impractical coat, but I do wear quite a lot of light pastely colored stuff, so I think it would go a little bit better. Anyway, also while I was shopping, I've just remembered another embarrassing story. There we go, I never disappoint. I went into a shop and I saw this dress, and I thought, that is really pretty. It was in the sale as well, but it was an extra small rather than a small. Normally I'm like a UK size 8 or a UK small, because I have quite wide shoulders and quite like a wide rib cage as well. So if it's stretchy, I can probably get away with an extra small depending on what it is. But this dress, like, it had a bit of stretching, but obviously not quite enough, because I pulled it over my head, put it on. When I put it on, it was fine because I had gravity with me. It was going down, it was going on. I got my arms through and I thought, this is nice, but it just doesn't quite sit right on me. I just don't think it suits me. Or I just thought, you know what, it's not giving me that feeling. Like, please tell me I'm not the only one. When you go shopping, you try something on. Like, before I buy something, it needs to give me the feeling. You know, the feeling where you're like, oh my gosh, I love this, this is amazing. Like, if it's just like, oh yeah, it's nice, but it doesn't give you the feeling, I'm like, no, it's not the one. Like, that kind of thing. So anyway, I thought, okay, time to take it off. I tried to pull it over my head. I could not get it off. There was a really lovely lady and her daughter, who I think her daughter was quite young. She was probably like 11 or 12. So they were having a cute little mother-daughter shopping date. And like, I could hear them because the daughter would come out and like show her mum like what she was wearing. The mum would be like, oh, that was so cute. Like, it was such a wholesome moment. And then there was me in the cubicle next door for my life trying to get this dress off. And I just thought, oh my gosh, like, I could hear, you know, when you can hear the fabric and it goes, and I was like, oh no, I'm going to rip it. I'm going to have to buy it. I'm going to be a criminal. I'm going to like damage property. Like, oh my gosh. But I was oddly freaking out, but oddly calm at the same time. And the first thing in my mind was like, oh, it's fine, I'll just go outside and ask the mum to pull it off me. Random people, never met before. I was there, like, just in my panties, just in my bra, with this dress, like, above my head, like some sort of weird headgear I had on. And so I was so tempted to go out, and then I poked my head through. They'd gone. They weren't there anymore. They'd left. So I was all alone in the changing rooms. And my dad was there, but the signal, I tried my phone, signal not working. I was like, I need somebody to help me out of this dress, because I'm, and also, to make stress even more, I had like a shopping opportunity / time, and I knew after that shop we had to head to Waterstones for me to sign some books at 2 p.m. So I was like, oh no, I'm going to be late, like, this is not good. In the end, if you ever get stuck in a dress, this is how I did it, because I think it was my broad shoulders that was kind of, I was struggling with, I just couldn't get them up over my shoulders. So I thought, you know what, I'm working against gravity here, because my arms are up in the air, I had nothing to pull the dress up with. I was literally just like my arms up in the air like a little banana kind of thing. So I thought, you know what, I'm gonna do a handstand. I didn't actually do like a handstand, but I put my hands on the ground, kind of bent over, and managed to somehow shimmy out, because the dress had kind of flopped to the floor. I managed to like pull it with my hands kind of on the ground. It was a very weird, like, I'm so glad. If there were hidden cameras or something watching me, it would have been hilarious. But I was probably stuck in that dress for at least like 5-10 minutes just trying to get out. It wasn't good. But there we go. I managed to make it to Waterstones in time. I signed all the books they had there of Jessie and the Star Rider, the second series or second episode, not episode, second book. There we go. Second book of the Starlet Stables gang. But yeah, it was all good. I managed to escape the dress and I got there in time. Also, while I was in London, I actually got spotted quite a few times, which normally is, I was going to say not unusual because I do get spotted here, there and everywhere. Often airports, actually. And often by parents as well. People are like, oh my gosh, my daughter loves watching your videos, or my son loves watching your videos, or that kind of thing. But I got spotted a few times in London. Once was in Victoria toilets at the station, which is quite fun. There was a really lovely girl. She came up and was like, oh my gosh, you're like my childhood. I watched you like growing up and still watching now. And that was really lovely. Had a little selfie in the bathroom. Not my first time I've done a selfie in the bathroom with somebody, but there we go. So that was quite good fun. And then another, I think it was on Regent Street. It was when I was walking up to the BBC. There was a teenage boy and he came up and he was like, oh my gosh, my sister loves watching your videos. So I took a little photo with him, which was cute. But yeah, no. So I feel like normally when I'm in like a city, because there are just so many people, and also, like, if I'm in London, you're probably not looking out for me, but if you're at a tack shop or if you're at a horse event or somewhere horsey, you probably would look out for me, if that makes sense. So anyway, yeah, met those people. They were really lovely. It's always very sweet meeting you guys out in the wild, out in public. But yeah, that was kind of really my London adventure. Got the train home. That was all good, especially as the trains have been a bit temperamental lately. Like, I remember a lot of the time there's been so many like bus replacements, so we always like look on our phone being like, is it going to be a bus replacement, is it going to be an actual train? And then yeah, we always have to like double check nowadays. But yeah, that all went really smoothly with our journey. I feel like there's always something that happens. There was me with my haul of shopping ready for autumn winter. But yeah, that was pretty much it really. So had a really lovely time in London. Also, as I said before, I'm going on holiday next week, and I think this might be my first ever break from the podcast, because I mean, I'm going to be away. I mean, I just think, you know what, it's been busy. I'd rather not do an episode that's like a little bit boring. I'd rather, you know, go on my holiday, have a relax. Also, because yeah, I feel like, when did I haven't been on like a broad holiday in a while, actually. So I'm looking forward to it. Like, this is a big holiday that me and my boyfriend have been looking forward to for a while, because this summer has been hectic. It has been wild. I don't like saying that I've worked hard, but I think my dad can confirm that there have been many sleepless nights / long days / very, very early mornings. So I'm just looking forward to like just a week of relaxation. I feel like when you do social media as a job, or sometimes even just owning horses, I feel like every now and again you just need to have a week away, a week off, and just chill. Because if not, I've got to the stage where I'm like, I feel like I'm all good and I'll be all good after my holiday, but I'm getting to the stage where I'm just starting to burn out of it. I'm just starting to get to the stage where I'm like, yeah, you know what, I could really do it with a holiday right now. So yeah, I will, next week there will be no podcast, unfortunately. Very, very sorry to say that, but there'll still be a YouTube video, and I can tell you all about my adventures and what I get up to on my holiday, on my hollybobs. Do people say that in like different countries, or is that just like a UK thing when people say your hollybobs? I mean, most people say vacation, don't they? Holiday is like Christmas and Halloween and Easter and stuff, isn't it? But anyway, in the UK we say holiday. So I'm going on it's actually a really lovely time, because it won't be busy, because everyone's kind of like back at work, back at uni, back at school in September, and we're going away just at the end. So yeah, I'll tell you all about my adventures when I'm back. Thank you again to listening to the podcast, and thank you so much to Red Post for sponsoring the podcast as well. Be sure to check them out at redpostequestrian.co.uk. But anyway, thank you for listening to this week and what I've been up to, and some kind of more wild things. Hopefully there is no more chicken massacres happening this week. I really hope this podcast doesn't get demonetized by me talking about that, but circle of life, I guess. I don't know if I'm going to be able to look at Snickers the same. Anyway, thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you all next time. Bye!